Ramsey TV.
From the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula, I have to say Floridan, you know, to distinguish it from the Somali Peninsula or the Shandong Peninsula or the Bataan Peninsula, Sinai Peninsula. I got to make sure you know where I'm coming from. The Floridan Peninsula on the edge of the bottom and on the edge of the bottom of everything. This is Martin Zender. I'm continuing a series I started a while ago. I did not even plan this to be a series, but it is. It's about a false gospel that is going out today. The same false gospel that went out in the first century. The false gospel is a mixed gospel. I'm going to review that today. And I'm going to play a tape, some more excerpts from a man named Thomas Kissinger. Nothing against the man personally. He's quoting another man named Stephen Jones, who is famous for mixing the Gospels. And this is a very, very bad practice. And I'm going to explain to you what mixing the Gospels is, why it's terrible, why I am taking the trouble to make these videos about this topic. Because I'm concerned that the grace of God would not be compromised. Okay, that makes me crazy. It doesn't make everybody crazy, but it makes me crazy. This is my calling. You might call it my curse, but I love it because I want people to know the pure grace of God. And when anything gets in there to spoil it, I don't like it. And I have to say something. And it's epidemic, and it's been happening since the first century. So as just a review here, in Galatians, Paul is losing his mind because he's going out of his way to teach people the transcendent grace of God, that they're saved apart from any ceremony. They're saved apart from praying, apart from circumcision, apart from baptism, apart from, anything people used to do. Even today, all religions have you do some sort of penance. Some crazy religions, you have to cut yourself. That sounds extreme, but what's the difference between that and the Catholic religion that says you have to give up chocolate for Lent, or you have to do something, you have to sacrifice yourself? You have to sacrifice something of yourself. Most religions, their gods are fearful, and their gods demand sacrifice. And all the false gods in the world, they demand something from you. You have to fear them. You have to sacrifice to them. And our God is different. But the problem is that our God has been twisted, and he has been made to look like these other false gods that demand you do your part. And these gods are fearful, because if you don't do your part, there's some horrible punishment waiting for you. And this is why the Christian God is a false God. The horrible punishment of the Christian religion is eternal torment. At the best, he will annihilate you, just kill you, and you're dead forever, never to see the light of day again. The problem I have with this is it's the false advertising. It's the putting the name of grace on it. So the Apostle Paul had a message of pure grace, that God saves you in spite of yourself, that he sent his son to the cross to die for the sins of all humanity, and because of all the sins of every single human being put on that man, the human race is declared to be a new creation. This was an amazing message. It has nothing to do with the law of Israel, nothing to do with Judaism. But again, as I told you, this is all review. Any religious person, especially an Israel type, will hate a message of pure grace. And so they try to mix things into it. And this is what I am protesting. Actively protesting mixing. Paul says this to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I am marveling that thus swiftly you are transferred from that which calls you, which was grace, saved in spite of yourself, saved no matter what you do, saved in spite of your sin, because all your sin was put on Christ, taken away. You're transferred from that which calls you in the grace of Christ to a different evangel, which is not another, I'll explain that quickly. Except it be that some who are disturbing you want to, here it is. Some who are disturbing you want to distort the evangel of Christ. So this different gospel that's not another is the gospel that's distorted. The grace of God is distorted. There is another legitimate gospel in the world, and it is the gospel that Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, gave to Peter. It's called the gospel of the circumcision. It has to do with law, has to do with Israel, has to do with the earth, has to do with forgiveness. Paul's gospel is different. And the problem is when these things are mixed, it's the mixture. There's a place in the book of Revelation where God says to one of the ecclesias in the second chapter of the unveiling of Jesus Christ, he said, I wish that you were either hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. It's hot or cold. It's either this or it's that. God hates this amalgamation, hates this compromise, this alloy. It's not pure. The gospel of the grace of God is pure. It is God's work, and it's in spite of you. But when law is added to it, then it just messes the whole thing up. That's what I'm upset about. Paul was upset about it in the book of Galatians. Read the whole thing for yourself. Because there are men today, including Thomas Kissinger and Stephen E. Jones, who say that, well, justification by faith is a nice thing. But you need to add to it. It's not enough. Just the first step. And there's a word I wanted to emphasize today that I left off with on Friday. And if you want to review, go to Friday's show. It's this statement that, you're justified by faith, which is being given the righteousness of God, by the way. Read Romans 3, Romans 4. Justification is you're declared righteous. Okay. But then after that, these gentlemen say, and it repeats the sin of the Judaizers who were persecuting Paul's pure grace people. They say, oh, that's nice, you're justified by grace. No, but now you're eligible to go to Mount Sinai. I'm quoting from a guy making a video in 2020 who says, reading from a book called Stephen E. Jones, that says that now that you've been justified by faith apart from works of law, now you're eligible to go to Mount Sinai. And if you don't know, I freaked out about this on Friday. You need to go back to Friday's video. Unbelievable. Now you're eligible? It's like, oh, now that I've been justified, that is made righteous, declared righteous by God, now I'm eligible to go to a place of condemnation and death, Mount Sinai, where the law came down with thunder and lightning and curses and condemnation and stonings. That's what I'm eligible to enter into? No, it's a lie. Whenever you hear it, reject it. And this whole thing is that they say that next, after you're justified by faith apart from works of law, you go to Mount Sinai. Oh, that sounds like fun. What do we do then? Well, now you enter a program of a, quote, process of sanctification. This holiness thing. I know I'm reviewing. It's Monday. Sorry, but you need it. I need it. Okay, this sanctification, holiness. Holiness is thought to be a process. Holiness is thought to be something that people can embark on. And some people are holier than other people. You're holy. You're not holy. How come you're not holy? Let's get together and be holy. No, it's not what it is. It is being set apart by God. In that vein, I want to quote Paul writing to the Corinthians. I've referenced this, but I don't know if I've actually read it. But listen to this. 1 Corinthians, and I remind you, the church in Corinth was the most immature church that Paul dealt with. I shouldn't call it a church, it's an ecclesia. Called out group of people, part of the body of Christ, and they were just all over the place. But anyway, Paul says to them, I'm starting the letter. I'm not going to read the whole thing, don't worry. Paul to the Corinthians, letter 1. Paul, a called apostle of Christ Jesus through the will of God, and Sosthenes, a brother to the ecclesia of God, which is in Corinth. Wait for it. Hallowed, that is sanctified, same word, sanctified, hallowed. It's a translation issue. Same word in the Greek based on the Greek word hagion, hallowed in Christ Jesus, called saints, together with all in every place who are invoking the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great entrance. Paul's going to later kick their asses a little bit because they're doing crazy shit. But from the get-go, he's making it clear that I want to make it clear to you people right now, Paul, that you're saints. You're already sanctified. Here's what he says. To the church in Corinth, sanctified already. These guys are telling us we need to start a program of sanctification. But these people in Corinth are sinning. They don't have their act together yet, and yet they're called. They've accepted Paul's message, and so on the day they accept it, they're hallowed, i.e. sanctified. Sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints. Well, yeah, those who are hallowed, that's the action God does on you. He sets you apart. He just says, I want you, 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 and you. Look, me? You want me? Me? Yeah, I want you. But, blah, blah, blah. I just want you. You're in the body of Christ. But, I didn't do anything yet. It doesn't matter. This is not based on you doing anything. It's according to my pleasure. So that is what it means to be sanctified, set apart. God pulls you out of the crowd of the human race. If you're in the body of Christ, you've been pulled out of the human race and set apart for God's use. That's all it means. And that's everything it means. That's as fantastic as it is. It's great to be sanctified, to be hallowed. And if you are that, then there's a name for you, and it's a noun. To be hallowed is a verb. God does it. You're sanctified. You're hallowed. Who, me? Yeah, you're hallowed. What did I do? Nothing. I just pulled you out of the mass of humanity to give you this marvelous information and cause you to believe it. And now I have a noun for you. I'm going to call you something based on the fact that I've separated you to myself. Oh, yeah. What are you going to call me? An asshole? A jerk? A moron? A loser? No, God says I'm going to call you a saint. So Paul says, to the ecclesia of God which is in Corinth, hallowed in Christ Jesus. He's the one who did it. Called saints. Boom. Done. Done. So now I want to play a portion of this message by, well, it's Thomas Kissinger, who, again, I have nothing against this guy personally, but he's reading. Somebody sent me this video, which has launched me on this whole series. What is this? Yeah. Part 10, right? Launched me on this whole series. I'm on part 10. Can't believe it. But anyway, here we go. It's been beneficial to you. You're liking it because we need to continue. Even today, 2,000 years after Paul first encountered this problem, I'm encountering it in the year 2020. Because again, people love law. They love Israel. It's all, they like to put like an Israel overlay on Paul's gospel. This is what they like to do. Paul's gospel, it's only complicated in this way, that you have to cut through all the works and all the desire to work. You have to cut through all the personal crap, like I'm not worthy and all that stuff, to get to the essence of it, which is you're saved by grace. But people have a hard time getting to that. Instead, they like Israel stories. They like to hear about David and Goliath and Noah and Samson, and they like to hear about Delilah. Oh, they love Delilah. They love Esther. They love Samuel. They just, all these stories are so emotion evoking, and you see, so it's story time in the Bible. I'm not making fun of these stories. I'm just saying that's easier than getting into the nuts and bolts of Paul's gospel. So people put an overlay of Israel over everything. Stephen Jones does that. He can't even see Paul without an overlay of Israel on top of it. He's got to see it through an Israel filter. Israel, 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 Israel. It's tempting to do that because Paul was an Israelite, yes. But in Philippians, he says that what things that were gained to him, such as his Israelite heritage, he considered garbage in light of this the excellency of the message he received from the glorified Christ. So I want to play a little clip here of Thomas Kissinger. Of course, I can't play much because I have to stop it and comment because I'm a pain in the ass that way. You see, I can't let things go. So here we go.
So we'll try to stop here for now. But as you can see, there is a difference between justification by faith and sanctification of the soul, where we go through the process of learning obedience.
All right, stop right there. Sanctification of the soul. What is that? I need a drink. Sanctification of the soul. What verse is that, Mr. Jones, Mr. Kissinger? What is sanctification of the soul? It sounds holy. Oh my God. Have you been sanctified in the soul? What is it? It makes no sense. It's not a scriptural phrase. It means nothing. Nothing. The soul is your perception of the world. It's your five senses. It's how you relate to your experiences. The soul isn't sanctified. The person is sanctified. The person is set apart by God. But you see, people who love to look at things in the Israelite way, they love these sensations. They love emotions. They're soul-oriented. They like the signs and the wonders and the miracles. And so no wonder Stephen Jones would put this mysterious phrase, sanctification of the soul. Ooh, I want to get in on that. No, you don't. It makes no sense whatsoever. Sanctification is a work of God. You might perceive it with your soul, but it has nothing to do with the soul. That didn't take long, did it, for me to stop that video. Okay. All right. Roll it again. Roll it again. Let's see if I can go for another, maybe, I don't know, 5 seconds.
Obedience to God, to where His law, His word, His character and nature becomes written on our hearts, so to speak, and in our minds.
All right. Ho. Okay. No. The process of learning obedience... Obedience to God. It sounds great. Obedience to God. But remember, these gentlemen and every single Christian, see, I'm not just picking on these guys. These are indicative. These people are part of the problem, but all of Christianity has the problem. Whenever you hear the word obedience, what do you think about? Do this or else. You think of the law of Moses. And when somebody says obedience to God, what do you think of? You think of doing, you better do everything God says, because if you don't, God's going to get you. A process of learning obedience. Again, I'm going to now, I'm going to end this show with this, okay? Because I have more to say. We're going to roll the tape more tomorrow. But for now, I got to tell you this. I am going to give you 2 verses out of Scripture where Paul takes this word obedience and he gives it a whole new application. Are you ready for this? Now, I've always known this verse. I'm going to give you 2 verses right now, but I watched a video recently by our brother, Jason. He made a video about this obedience. But Paul makes up a phrase that no one had ever heard before. He does it in Romans chapter 1, verse 5, and in Romans 16, 26. He bookends Romans with this phrase that no one had ever heard before. And it is a Frankenstein phrase. It is the strangest thing you've ever heard. It is a freak of nature. But if you understand this phrase, then you will never again go back to the law of Moses. When you hear how Paul takes obedience that everybody loves, oh, we want to obey God, you see, it's the fleshly part of people, of Israel. They want to obey, they want to obey. This is what Israel said at the foot of Mount Sinai, which I ranted about on Friday. All that the Lord has said, we will do. They have a lust in their heart for obedience. But it's a fleshly lust. that we will do what God said, give us a list, that whole thing. And people are still in love with that, but it's a dead end road. It's the road of Sinai. It'll lead you to destruction. Because until the new covenant comes, when God puts his law in the hearts of Israel, nobody will be able to obey. Nobody can obey God. These guys don't get the... Nobody can obey God. The word obedience in its English elements is under hear. H-E-A-R. It means to hear and to heed. It's to pay attention. But the way these men mean it, it's the obedience of laws. And to quote Thomas Jones here, he says, obedience to God. And he says, go through the process of learning obedience. But let me give you Paul's phrase, okay? I've held you in suspense long enough. Again, the verses are Romans 1:5 and Romans 16:26. This is what Paul says. Paul talks about faith obedience among the nations. Faith obedience. He puts the word faith, which is total reliance on God, a total belief when God calls you righteous, when God calls you just. He takes the word faith and he puts it next to obedience. This is a Frankenstein monster Paul has created, because obedience makes us think of the law. You got to obey God's word. You have to do everything God says. Faith is we don't do anything. We just trust God. What is this faith obedience? My mind's exploding here. This is what it is, and this is what Jason said this. I'm going to link you to Jason's video here. I think his channel is called God Saves Everyone, right? He and Jess, they do videos together. I'm going to link you to that. But this is what he said, and it hit me in a whole new way. He said, faith obedience is obedience to the faith. Faith is so difficult to accept that the only thing that pleases God is believing what he says, that we need to obey the faith. It's not like we're obeying laws. And see, Paul's not saying, this is the radical thing that he's saying here. Or it's not like he says law obedience. That was the old thing, law obedience, law obedience. We all know that. And whenever we hear obedience, we think law obedience. Paul is coining a whole new phrase here. It's a Frankenstein monster, but it's a beautiful construction. He says, faith obedience. I am teaching, Paul says, faith obedience among the nations. You've never heard these two words put together in any language at any time. Paul is a mastermind. He's a genius here, but he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Faith, obedience? What the hell is that? It's this. Obedience to faith. Wrap your mind around that. That you actually obey. This idea that, this truth that you're justified by faith apart from works of law. That needs to be obeyed. Yeah, I know, right? You're thinking, but wait a minute. I need to obey rules. I need to obey regulations. No, you need to obey that there are no rules or regulations. Obey that. Obey that. Obey that there are no rules and regulations. Obey that you don't have to do anything to earn God's favor. Obey that God loves you because of what his son did on the cross. Obey that. Have you ever thought of obeying that? No, because you're too busy obeying rules and laws and regulations. Obey the fact that there are no more rules and regulations for you. Faith obedience among the nations, not faith obedience among the Israelites. They couldn't even hear that phrase. I'm sure if even Peter got wind of what Paul's saying, what faith obedience, Peter would have just gone out and got a drink with James and John, say, I don't know what the hell this guy's talking about. Maybe we made a mistake giving him the right hand of fellowship. Faith obedience. Would have blown their minds. But I want you to wrap your head around this, because it makes perfect sense. Obey the fact that we're saved by grace, and that faith is the channel by which we apprehend that grace. Faith, obedience. The book of Romans, the greatest piece of writing from God to us, is bookmarked in Romans chapter 1, verse 5, Romans 16, verse 26. Faith, obedience among the nations. This is the opposite of what Thomas Kissinger and Stephen Jones are telling you, because they're operating in the realm of God's law. And when they say obedience, you fear, because they're bringing you again to the foot of Mount Sinai. That's where they're bringing you. Don't go there. It's a mixed message. It's a confusing message. You need to keep the law of Moses separate from the letters of Paul, from the message of grace. And so, from this day forward, hear and heed the message of grace, which is apprehended by faith.